back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. All the best to each and every one of you out there. It is December 22nd, 2021. We are less than 3 days away to Christmas, about a little more than 48 hours away. I want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I think we have a loaded show to get into today. I will admit, I didn't want to open up with a particular topic. Not that I don't want to talk about it, but it's a topic that should not have been discussed tonight. And I think you all know, if you watch Dynamite tonight, probably the moronic thing that is overshadowed. And it's before I even get into that, I want to welcome everybody who is tuning in live on all the platforms tonight, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else. Much love as always. And if I sound a little bit down, I'm just tired. You know, after, it pisses me off that I didn't get a chance to do an episode last Wednesday, but I had the heart procedure on Thursday. Any of you that only tune into the Wednesday shows, I'm okay. I'm all right. But I've been really worn down for the last couple of days since. I'm looking forward to this weekend to spend it with family and to just relax. But let's talk about it. Tonight we're going to talk about AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk a little bit about NXT. A little bit of wrestling news, an interview that, you know, I definitely just want to mention a few comments about, and something about Ring of Honor that I got to bring up. By the way, you know, I'm wearing the Hit Row hat tonight only because, well, not only, but I saw a tweet earlier from Isaiah Swerve Scott. And he made a remark that Hit Row in about 3 months made $2 million for WWE. Now, for those out there that are saying, like, how do you know that? Prove it, this and that. Well, first of all, he doesn't need to prove it to anybody. And second of all, the only thing I could think of is that if they get a residual from all the Hit Row merchandise sales, they probably get a quarterly statement. And a quarter of a year is 3 months. And if the quarterly statement shows the total sales and whatever tiny little fraction of a percent that they get, that's probably where you got the number from. So, yes, I am one that has bought Hit Row merch before. I'm not going to lie. I usually wear it around the house because someone who is broken 50, you know, may not look all that on the streets wearing Hit Row stuff. Anyway, you want a war? You want a war? You want a war? Kyle O'Reilly. No, that's not the topic. I mean, I will get into the Nyla Rose sign that everybody is talking about tonight. And what I say about it shouldn't surprise anybody, but I'm going to add something to it that might ruffle some people the wrong way. We'll talk about Kyle O'Reilly's AEW debut in a moment, because I have quite a few things to say about that. All positive. Anybody that's been following my show for a couple of years knows my appreciation for the Undisputed Era. And while everybody else, well, not everybody else, but a lot of the, you know, two-faced out there who have been making fun of Kyle O'Reilly, you know, even in the Undisputed Era, calling him beneath the Marty Jannetty of the team. Now, all of a sudden, epic, unbelievable, amazing. Hang tight. I will give you all my thoughts on Kyle O'Reilly in a moment. Yes, he did sign with AEW Benjamin, and I want to welcome all of you. But listen, I want to open up with James Tutton's very generous $50 super chat. Merry Christmas, DT. I was going to send this to you anyway, But now I would like to ask your thoughts on that horrible Nia Rose sign that was ringside during Dynamite. Thank you for always being straight up and not some gimmick gushing goof. I like that phrase, gimmick gushing goof, triple G's. Yeah, there's a lot of triple G's out there. But look, I'm going to keep this straight and to the point. There is a YouTube video out there that I did a couple of years ago talking about Val Venus's comments towards Nyla Rose. I am a supporter of Nyla Rose. Yes, she sometimes doesn't have the greatest matches, but I've always showed respect to anybody who's trans. You know, that I respect that. You know, just because I'm a heterosexual male doesn't mean that I can't respect that and appreciate. And I can only imagine the battle and the torment and the abuse and the harassment and the mocking and the bullying that comes with it. You know, I'm not trying to put down Nyla Rose right now. Oh, and the haters are like, oh, please do, DT. We want ammo. But Nyla is a big girl. Nyla's big. For some reason, there's people out there with this weird mentality that if you're a big person, if you're fat, not saying she's fat, but if you're this big person, if you have a blue check mark, that no, you don't feel, you know, like you're above the bullying. You're supposed to be above it. That it's not supposed to hurt as much. The fuck out of here. Now, I want to add something to this. Now, for those out there that didn't see the sign, this is the sign. Some idiot sitting front row with a sign that says, Nyla Rose is that guy's dad. And I thought Nyla Rose, with a very subtle comeback that I don't know if all of you saw it, but yeah, she gave that guy the finger. She gave that guy the finger. Now, that sign was ultimately confiscated and should be. Now, here's a fact. Here's a fact. Many signs, because AEW has had such dedicated, loyal, you know, fans that support AEW, that don't troll, you know, that they don't check the signs. And the signs are few and far between, but they don't check them for the most part. Let's also say that some people will make the signs at the building. That is legit. That is true. But they need to check signs. They need to do due diligence. And look, in no way am I trying to say that someone making fun of a person who is trans is in the same category of somebody, you know, making fun of COVID and Vince McMahon's firings. But last Wednesday on Dynamite, somebody had a sign in the crowd that said, Vince ends more careers than COVID. Making fun of an illness, a disease that has killed almost 1 million Americans, and we're not even talking about worldwide, and people out there thought it was fucking hilarious. And that sign stood around and stood around and stood around. And some people with level heads, look, I don't like Vince McMahon, but that sign is inappropriate. And everybody's like, yeah, you know, that sign should be taken away. Yeah, that's not like a joking matter. But Nyla Rose tonight cut the person's balls off that made that sign. My point is, hate is hate. And assholes are assholes. And I can't stand this picking and choosing because someone you don't like, and it's okay to mock. That's why I always defended Tammy also. You know, alcoholism and other things, it's a disease. And, you know, obviously she's no saint. But, you know, everybody else thinks it's freaking hilarious to see somebody crash and burn like that. But, you know, someone else who they beloved goes into alcohol rehab. We're thinking about you. We care about you. Prayers. Much love. Oh, my God. If you don't tolerate this hate and this trolling. You don't tolerate any of it. What I saw tonight with that sign was disgusting. And yes, it should have been taken away. And it's not a fucking joke. It's not a joke. But none of it is a joke. And I'm not blaming AEW for this, but going forward, they need to check signs. Because there is a climate out there, and it's not AEW's fault. It's across the world, and it's across everything. Sports, politics, entertainment, social issues. It's across everywhere. There is this climate of putting people down, making the catchiest, funniest insult that is, you know, this is what people think. You write the catchiest, funniest insult, and someone will be like, oh my God. Oh, no. No, you don't tolerate any of it. I didn't see anybody rushing to pull the sign last week, and it's going to happen again, and it's going to get worse because some people think, oh, there's enough people that will laugh at it. I'm not going against this. I'm not going against that. It's just a joke. It's not thin skin, Twix. I know you always want attention, my friend, and I say that in a loving way, but it's not thin skin. It's inexcusable, especially with what's going on in this world and so many people having problems and abuse and racism and, you know, just bias. You know, it's never acceptable. So I'm just giving you my opinion. You may not agree with it, but few of you out there wanted my thoughts. I'm not going to lie to you. When I saw the sign, I said to myself, do I even want to bring this up? Because it's almost like, you know, a certain asshole wrestler that put up a video on YouTube, you know, really like putting down somebody's wife. And I'm not trying to put attention on it. Do not click it. I'll tell you what it is, but don't click on the video. That Devin Nicholson, that whack job. The person 12 years ago I said was a whack job when no one else realized it was a whack job. Because Miz gets ambushed in an airport from TMZ. Hey, what do you think of this video? And they show him the Hannibal, the Blood Hunter, Blood Hunter video. Miz is like, that's terrible. That's disgusting. He should be banned from wrestling. So what does he do? He calls Maryse a rat. And Mish and I, yesterday on Patreon, we just had this conversation that you don't give a platform for these assholes, these whack jobs, these trolls looking for attention. Because I guarantee you, that guy that put that sign up today was looking for attention. He's sitting fucking ringside. He thought all day long, oh, this is an awesome sign. Oh, that's that guy's dude. Ha, 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 ha. Now you know what'll happen. Somebody will recognize him. They will out him on social media. And then he'll make this statement, look, everybody, I didn't mean it in hate. It was just a joke. But I realize now the errant of my ways. And I am so sincerely sorry for Nyla and everybody else whom I've offended. No, you're upset because you got caught. We can't give these assholes a platform. Owen Hart. They're doing a tournament. Martha Hart allowed some footage to be shown. They got some footage from New Japan. And right away, people are bringing up all the money that Martha Hart got back in, what, in the late 90s when he passed. And people immediately retweet. You know why? Because you know it is just as disturbing. Not these assholes, just these assholes that make these stupid comments and tweets and signs and videos, but everybody out there, like a drug, like fucking heroin, that they have to make it public so they could give their opinions on it, so they could come off looking like you are stand up, you are moral. Now, it's different here, obviously. We're doing a show. You ask me. You dictate the show. You tell me what you want talked about, and I talk about it. But if it was up to me, all of these jerk-offs, they should just all rot and don't give them attention because this is exactly what they want. All right. So let's move on. Obviously, the big news today, coming out of AEW Dynamite, other than the fact that it was a fun show, and AEW is closing out 2021 with some very solid programming. I really enjoyed tonight's Dynamite very much. Now, not every bit of the show was all that spectacular. You know, I honestly expected a little bit of this storyline with Julie Hart to progress a little bit. Remember what I said last week on one of the other shows? I want to see Julie Hart join up with Malakai Black. Julie, what are you doing? What are you doing? I want to see Julie Hart end up with Malakai Black. I want Malakai Black to form a little dark stable. Yes, and I know AEW has too many stables already, but here's a case where it is warranted. The House of Black? Come on. It's handed right there. So, but basically what we got today was Griff Garrison, I want to say getting squashed, but losing convincingly to Malakai Black, and then Brian Pillman Jr. getting kicked Black Mass in the head as well. No Julie Hart advancement in the storyline. But Kyle O'Reilly is obviously the news of tonight. Yes, he is signed with AEW. I'll tell you the truth, I'm really curious to know. I'm going to try to find out. I'm curious to know how many years is his contract. Because here's my thoughts on the Kyle O'Reilly signing. You know, I showed you all only because I have some autographs that, you know, down the line, and we're going to be giving away a little bit here, a little bit there. We have a show from earlier this week. We're giving away a couple of cool things. Tomorrow I'm going to put something up for our channel members. But I showed you this not too long ago, all right? This is from NXT, TakeOver In Your House. And I was looking at this again tonight, and what I noticed was how many people are gone in a matter of 6 months. This was from June. Johnny Gargano, now a free agent. Adam Cole, gone. Karrion Kross, gone. Kyle O'Reilly, gone. Mercedes Martinez, Ember Moon, Bronson Reed, gone. I mean, yes, Xia Li is on the main roster, but, and look, even Mei Yang, that character is done. I was looking at that today. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people to be gone in 6 months. Now, I have always said for years that Adam Cole was the MVP of NXT. And I have given away more Undisputed Era prizes on this show than any other show out there. I'm telling you, find me one that comes close. Undisputed Era was very, very popular amongst my friends out there that tune into the shows. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Just because Kyle O'Reilly is on the show tonight and they do 9-10, just using the rough number, 9-10. Tony Khan cannot turn around and say, when people say, oh, Kyle O'Reilly, I don't know what he's been doing in AEW already. He's fighting a best friend. You know, like, and then when Tony Khan says, Kyle O'Reilly is seen by more people in AEW than he was on the Tuesday night and this and that. You can't use that mentality. For me, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Adam Cole as a threesome is designed more than anything for a feud with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, period. Of course, those three are going to go up against Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Christian. Of course, those three are going to go up against Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Of course, those three are going to go up against any trios that they put together. There's been rumors of a trios belt. down the line. Kyle O'Reilly, let's keep it in perspective. Remember what I said all along for a couple of years. Kyle O'Reilly is a very good wrestler, and he is excellent. Kyle O'Reilly is not the steak dinner on a restaurant menu. Kyle O'Reilly is the lobster tail that comes with the steak dinner. Kyle O'Reilly is I don't want to diminish him as a side dish, but Kyle O'Reilly in a group with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, it is perfect. It's not brain surgery. I think we all realize this. But outside of that, what is Kyle O'Reilly's actual worth? What is he going to do? He's going to wrestle on Dark a bunch of matches so they can pad his stats, because that's what they do. Dark and Elevation. Look at did anybody see the Dark preview from yesterday? Or if it was Monday, I don't remember which day it was, but I think it was from yesterday. And they had like the banner of all nine matches. Every match was a squash. Now, that's nothing new, but people are starting to figure it out that Dark and Elevation is not about building the stars of tomorrow. It's padding numbers. This way, when someone is 18-2, and then you realize, wait a minute, they only had two matches on Dynamite. Where's the other 16 wins from? Oh, that was against Jose Cuervos, number 3, on Dark. That was against Joe Blow, Jr., on Dark. Oh, and Sean Dean on Rampage. That's what it's designed for. So Kyle O'Reilly will be on Dark. He will be on Elevation. He will get main event matches. Kyle O'Reilly is best utilized with a group. So I am 100% fine with Kyle O'Reilly going AEW. Kyle O'Reilly's worth is with a group. When they tried NXT, and let me also make another point that a lot of other places are not going to do. Not going to do. I don't need to look at research. I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at notes. You look at the AEW roster, and you could figure it out. They're going to fight 3 members of the Dark Order. They're going to fight Best Friends in Wheeler, Utah. They're going to fight Best Friends in Orange Cassidy. They're going to fight Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Christian. It was only a year or two ago that they were fighting Pete Dunne, Matt Riddle, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. So before anyone out there tries to fucking feed me that, oh, the matches they could have in AEW, oh my God, oh my God. Just because he's part of a show that draws more viewers than NXT doesn't mean that Kyle O'Reilly is going to be used better in NXT. The million-dollar storyline that everybody wants to see is Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. Outside of that, I don't know where the money is. Outside of that, I don't know where the money is. And let's also be honest. And here's my final point about this. Remember, for everybody out there that insists that WWE, you know, took NXT away from Triple H. Everybody, oh, Triple H, oh, they're treating him like a clown. Triple H, he should go start his own promotion. Could you imagine if Triple H aligned with Tony Khan? It would put Vince out of business. Triple H, Triple H, Triple H, Triple H, Triple H. Well, guess what? Kyle O'Reilly's best work in his career was under Triple H and the Black and Gold NXT. There is, other than the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, no one is going to tell me that Kyle O'Reilly in AEW is going to be a million times better than he was in NXT. If the Undisputed Era against Riddle and Dunn and the Viking Raiders and Gargano and Ciampa, DIY, and you go down the line, and yet they only drew 600,000 viewers, and Triple H was at the helm. So the loudest people online If you were so fucking loud about these guys, then how come you didn't support them when they were in NXT? Why? Because Vince McMahon signs the check? So don't give me, you know, this shit. It's unbelievable. I'm crying. I'm in tears. I'm in this. I'm in that. Those are the same people that said that about Christian when he made his AEW debut. What the fuck has Christian done in AEW really for the last 6 months? Seriously, what has he done? What has he done? He's done more for Impact Wrestling than he did for AEW. Look, everybody, goosebumps. I'm crying. I'm in tears. I loved Christian getting the opportunity in AEW. But stop making everything epic, unbelievable, amazing, the best thing ever. Tony Khan, please, you could have the loins. You can take everything. Take it all. Just keep giving me surprises. Kyle O'Reilly is a great compliment for AEW. And let's leave it at that. So, let's run through tonight's matches because obviously my shows are a little bit different than a lot of other people's shows out there. We're not going to go through every little nook and every little detail. We're going to just do an overview. Most of you out there saw Dynamite, and I'm just going to give you my overall thoughts. If you haven't seen Dynamite, after I give you the rundown, it might convince you to watch it, or maybe you'll be like, eh, I'm not interested. Now, I go out of place too. I talk about the most important things at hand right off the bat. And where the fuck? Oh, I didn't bring my notes in here. I'm going to do my timestamps. I'm doing them later. It's all right. Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson are going to have a rematch in 2 weeks. That will be AEW's first TBS show. We will also have the TBS Women's Champion crowned on that night as well. Now, I'm going to give you my honest, straight-up thoughts on Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson 2. It blew me away last week at so many people who did not think there was going to be a time limit draw. I know I posted a video well before Dynamite aired and said, don't be surprised, everyone, if there's a time limit draw. Because all you have to do is really read between the lines how AEW and Tony Khan is using some of the wrestlers. You could figure out almost every outcome. Almost every outcome. Adam Cole is not going to get pinned in one-on-one matches. But if they need to help put somebody over, he'll team with Bobby Fish, and Bobby Fish will eat the pin. You want someone to lose, it usually turns into a tag match. With Bryan Danielson, there is no way that he was winning that championship last week. Because if he would have won it, even if the match was ranked 8 stars, people would have said, this is a disaster with Hangman Page. A 2-year build for a 2-month run? One fucking title defense. So there was nothing, no way whatsoever that Bryan Danielson was winning that title last week. Now, if Bryan Danielson is not going to win it, and Tony Khan doesn't believe in disqualifications, and really doesn't like to do the Uber screw jobs, then how do you keep the belt on Hangman Page, but not have Bryan Danielson lose? The time limit draw. Why the fuck do you think they're using judges? Judges! TNA! NWA TNA! Judges! Judges! Because people out there that don't want to offend Tony Khan and AEW and other AEW fans, no, I think that's actually a good idea. You know, I kind of like the idea of judges. You know, it gives a little bit more of a reality to it. Do you know what fucking is going to happen? I quit the shows. No, I'm not going to quit the shows. But remember when I say this. You know what's going to happen? We're probably going to get another time limit draw. And it's going to come down to the judges. One judge is going to rule in favor for Hangman Page. One judge is going to rule in favor for Bryan Danielson. Another judge is going to rule it a draw. Therefore, it's another draw. Because you're not going to take the belt away from Hangman Page this soon, because it would be labeled a disaster, no matter how you look at it. The two-year storyline culminated with Hangman Page winning the championship. You're going to take it away this fast? No. Bryan Danielson losing his first match. Bryan Danielson, sooner or later, is going to have to lose a match, unless Kenny Omega is ready to return. But that's what this is. It's not brain surgery. You could figure out almost all of this. And a lot of other people out there figure it out too. But again, they're afraid to dare say, judges? Judges? How's about Mr. Khan? No time limit. There must be a winner.
Oh, that's too hard. We have judges.
That's what they're going to do. It's not hard to figure that out. I know a lot of people, oh, and let me throw this out there too, okay? Because a lot of people out there, and I don't have the picture in front of me, I'm sorry, but you see my thumbnail for tonight's show? You see Battle of the Belts, and I crossed out the, and I put Battle of Some Belts. Okay, this is news, and I think it's important. I think it's very important. I saw a lot of people tonight saying, why didn't they have Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page on Battle of the Belts? My God, you're doing a TNT special, Battle of the Belts. That's the most important belt of them all. Why aren't you doing Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson, Battle of the Belts? It's the first week in January. Why wouldn't you do it on there? Well, I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people don't know this. But Battle of the Belts is only going to be a one-hour show. If you're going to do another one-hour time limit draw, now remember, you can't do a one-hour time limit draw in a one-hour show because you have introductions. And then when the bell rings, then the judges, they have to have the dramatics for the next 3-4 minutes. One for Hangman Page, one for Bryan Danielson. One undecided. So the one-hour match is actually a one-hour and 15-minute match when you add all the other antics. You cannot have a one-hour time limit draw match on only a one-hour show. So Battle of the Belts is not even going to feature the heavyweight championship. Watch. And I'll be honest with you. I'm very, very surprised that they only negotiated a one-hour show. Because TNT is doing, what, 4 specials a year? And you mean to tell me you only negotiate 1 hour? I don't know, man. Because the only match that's announced so far for Battle of the Belts is Riho taking on Britt Baker for the Women's Championship. That match is probably going to go about 10 minutes because Tony Khan doesn't believe in short title defenses as far as match length. So that's going to be with commercials and intros about 15, 20 minutes. That's going to be almost a third of the show. So I don't care who the judges are. If Bischoff could be the judge, my favorite wrestlers of all time could be the judge. I do not like a judge. I don't like 3 judges. The only judge that I like is Mike Judge. And, to me, I think it's a stupid idea because you could see right through this that it's going to go to the judges. Maybe Kenny Omega will be one of the judges. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Just make it what everybody wanted. No time limit. There must be a winner. No, we can't do that. Then that means somebody has to lose. We don't want Bryan Danielson to lose yet. That's what this is about. The match will be awesome. It will not take away from the match. Oh, please, dear God, I just realized something. Please, dear God, I don't know if anybody in AEW tunes into these shows. You know, no one will ever confront me with a lot of the things that we talk about because, you know, we're prepared with comebacks. But I don't like doing gotchas, so I'm not here to hurt anybody. But God, please, if you're going to do this in 2 weeks, please announce that at least the first half hour, the first hour is going to be commercial free. Please do not give us four fucking commercial breaks and then it goes to the judges afterwards. That is just going to be almost 90 minutes of a train wreck. It's going to take away so much from that match. And obviously, because the first match was so awesome, they have to deliver or even try to top it. And those commercial breaks are killer, man. I'll be honest with you. If they do no commercial interruptions or the first 30 minutes commercial free, or better yet, if it goes an hour, the last 30 minutes commercial free. Now, look, this is a tough situation. Let's go one step ahead right now. Tony Khan is real, and I'm defending the guy. He's in a little bit of a bind. Because if he announces beforehand, the first hour is commercial free, people are going to be like, ha! That means the match is going to run an hour. So you almost can't announce it beforehand. Because if you announce it beforehand, people will be like, well, why is it going commercial free for an hour? What if the match only goes 15 minutes? So I don't know how you could really... That's why they get paid the millions, everyone. That's why we don't get paid. If it was up to me, if you're going to do half of the first hour commercial free, don't announce it beforehand. Just let the match go and let the match go. And then people will be like, wow, we haven't had a commercial in 30 minutes. Not everything needs to be told in advance. So if we get at least half that match commercial free, then I'm good with the judges. I'm a fair man. I will trade the judges for at least half that match commercial free. I think that's fair. So that's what we have in 2 weeks. Now, we had the confrontation tonight with Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson setting this up, and Hangman Page, you know, basically putting himself down because of not being able to beat Bryan Danielson. But he made a little one-liner that, you know, obviously this was written in advance, but I'm sure he came up with it. He says to Bryan Danielson, you tried to drag me out into the deep waters, but I swam. And if I had three more seconds, I would have drowned you. I mean, that is choreographed, scripted statements. But again, that's something that they came up with, not a producer in the back. And I did get a kick out of Hangman Page calling Bryan Danielson a B-plus player. I don't mind shit like that. Yeah, it's a reference to WWE, but so what? So what? You know, some of it is definitely works. It worked well with MJF and CM Punk. It worked well with Hangman Page calling Bryan Danielson a B-plus player. You want to get under someone's skin, you call them something that in the past really triggered people. So, all right. I'm checking out the live chat. Much love for everybody who's hanging out tonight. So we get that in 2 weeks. Now, on a side note, I hope MJF is okay. I don't know if all of you saw that main event tonight, but MJF is really freaking lucky he didn't crack his neck. He did, Sting threw him over the top rope, and he was to land on FTR. And MJF, I don't know what happened, but MJF, basically, it was a little too arced, and he looked like he landed on his head. FTR did break part of the fall. But MJF, man, that looked pretty scary for a minute. Props to him for immediately moving around, basically to show everyone, like, look, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then he got himself back in the ring. Tough son of a bitch, man. Arion, that was not on Sting at all. Sting did zero wrong in that. In fact, I thought Sting was great today. And I didn't take too many pictures from tonight's show. Mostly it was just the Kyle O'Reilly, the Nyla Rose, but I had to take screenshots of this. I thought this was pretty fucking cool. I closed it instead of showing it to you. Here we go. Sting, that's some pretty epic face paint, man. Paying tribute to CM Punk. I know CM Punk has a huge ego for himself, and he should be proud of that. But Sting paying a little tribute to CM Punk tonight, I thought that was pretty fucking awesome. Hey, Neil, have a good night. Merry Christmas, my friend. All the best to you. All the best to you. Much love, much love. CM Punk returns the favor. CM Punk, I don't have pictures of his tights tonight, but he was dressed up pretty much as Sting also. And look, the main event match tonight was a lot of fun. By the way, I don't remember what your actual name is, but I will tell you that those who already reached out to me up to this morning claiming their CM Punk prize, I already mailed them out. I mailed out a bunch today. So they are on their way. In fact, you know what? I want to throw this out there right now as well, in case you're interested. Now, obviously, we're not doing any giveaways tonight as far as the CM Punk trading cards, but you know those AEW CM Punk cards that everybody is trying to get money on eBay? Well, everybody knows that I have a ton of them. So I record a little video over the weekend. It's only about 45 seconds long. And I'm just going to throw it out there in case anybody is interested. You can go to my Twitter, @DonTonyD, for the link. But the family of Jimmy Rave set up a GoFundMe to cover funeral costs, the cost for his memorial. And, you know, I know a few of you out there were sending donations, as myself. And I said, okay, how can we maybe do a little bit more? And then I thought of this idea. Go check this out. It's only 45 seconds long.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It is December 19th, 2021, about 4:45 p.m. That's not really the reason why I'm up here. Recently, we lost Jimmy Rave, and his daughter has set up a GoFundMe page for his medical expenses, funeral expenses. Yeah, those medical bills do not go away with him passing. They don't write it off. So since I was just made aware of the GoFundMe, there's an old phrase, give a little, get a little. So why don't we do this? And I'm sorry, this is not open for anybody who has already donated. But for the first 25 of you that donate at least $50 to Jimmy Rave's GoFundMe, and you send me proof that you donated after this recording, I will be more than happy to send you one of these CM Punk AEW cards absolutely free. Obviously, Jimmy Rave and CM Punk have a little history together, positive one. So I said, you know, why not? Let's give away some of these cards. So the first 25 of you that donate at least $50 or more from this point forward, and you send me proof, I will be more than happy to send you a card. If we get all those 25 cards given away quickly, then we will open it up for a few more. So, all right, everybody.
I think you got the picture. Somebody said $50 around the holidays is a little steep. Well, I'll answer that a couple of ways. I don't expect everybody to be able to do this, obviously. Some people can. Another idea is these cards right now on eBay are going anywhere. It's from $30 to $50 a card, depending on who has it on hand. So even if you donated $50, got the card and put it on eBay, got $30 back, you know, you end up getting some money back on the deal. And my offer is going to be available after the holidays. So I don't want anybody to put themselves in any type of, you know, debt over this. If you have the means and you want to do it, there's a lot of people that did it anyway. I got at least 15 DMs. Can I have a card, even though I donated before you made the announcement? The reason why I wanted to go forward is to try to get more money raised over there. So it doesn't expire. You know, if I have the cards and somebody does it even 2-3 weeks from now, Yeah, I'll still send you a card. So I don't screw anybody over. So I might even end up in the deals because I still got tons of ice cream wrappers laying around. I mean, I got stuff everywhere. People were asking me about the Daphne, Georgia license plates. I still have about 20 or 30 of them. So I might end up offering the license plate instead of the card if somebody wants it. So one thing also, and I'm sorry, Cruiserweight, I will actually PayPal you or refund you back your Patreon money this month because I don't know if you're going to actually like this answer. I actually wrote in the comment section on Patreon this morning that I am going to talk about The Rock's video with Bret Hart either tomorrow on the Q&A or on Sunday. I originally was going to talk about it on Monday's show, but we had so many topics to get into. This was something that I wanted to spend a little rant on. I don't want to get into it here because on this show we only talk about AEW and NXT, but I will say this. I found it hilarious that The Rock made time, even though Bret is, you know, protege or mentored him, excuse me, mentor is a better word, he found time for a minute while he was in the gym to thank Bret Hart for being in the Canada Walk of Fame, but for months and months and months, not even while he's taking a dump, just grab the same phone that he recorded the Bret Hart video with and just wish everybody a thank you for the anniversary of Survivor Series. So we'll talk about that later on. VJ, you want to buy one of those license plates? I'll tell you what. I'm not even going to tell you how much. Whatever you want to buy that license plate for, send it to Jimmy Rave's GoFundMe and I'll send you a plate. Even if you just intended to pay $10 for the plate. Send whatever you wanted to pay for the plate and you don't have to pay shipping and I'll send you a plate. Because I don't think you live in, you know, blah, 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 blah land where I have to pay like $90 for shipping charges. So anyway, let's get back to AEW tonight. So Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy opened up the show. It was a fun match. I mean, it had a couple of moments that, you know, Adam Cole is doing his intro. He does it one time, then he does it again because Orange Cassidy and him are basically trying to show each other up. And Adam Cole is facing Orange Cassidy. He goes to do the boom. Orange Cassidy grabs Adam Cole's arms and actually overpowers Adam Cole and puts Adam Cole's hands in Orange Cassidy's pants. His pant pockets, excuse me. By the way, speaking of like, you know, sexual innuendos, what was that tonight with the Matt Hardy private party stuff and Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Christian about pounding that ass? Did you notice that tonight? We're going to pound your ass because on Rampage, I think we're getting Isaiah Cassidy versus Jungle Boy. Matt Hardy's cutting a promo. On Rampage, we're going to pound your ass. And then Jungle Boy a little bit later, you're going to pound my ass? I don't know. Go back and watch it. A little, it's, you know, some people get triggered at stuff like that. I thought it was funny. But this match, excellent wrestling match. There was one point that I know a lot of people thought it was cringe. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but Orange Cassidy was doing a few headlock takedowns to Adam Cole. And, you know, I guess it could have been interpreted as miscommunication. I don't know why Orange Cassidy would stop and not do a headlock takedown, but there was one point where Orange Cassidy was doing headlock takedowns to Adam Cole, and then Orange Cassidy stopped, and Adam Cole just flipped himself over, and it looked eh. But later on in the match, there was a lot of blocks, a lot of counters, and they really found their groove. Early on in the match, we had Brandon Cutler and the Young Bucks trying to get involved in the match. Orange Cassidy dives on Brandon Cutler, then Best Friends, and I'm sorry, man, Chuck Taylor is so horrible. I'm sorry for anybody that I offend when I say that, but even like when he's chasing the Young Bucks to the back. He does the same. It looks like that toy game, that boxing game from the 90s that we were talking about the other day. He's doing this. He just, like, it's, he's stiff. He's stiff. He looks like he's, you know, when a body dies and it gets into that stage where it stiffens up, he's like half dead. He's like half dead. So the match was okay. The only thing, the only moment of the match that I did not like was when Adam Cole put the Panama Sunrise on Orange Cassidy and he kicked out of two. Now, I know Adam Cole did the lazy pin. He just leaned on Orange Cassidy, put his hands in his own trunks. But still, to kick out at the two with the Panama Sunrise. And the funny thing is, when Cassidy kicked out, the fans started chanting, "This is awesome." So they didn't want the match to end. Rock'em sock'em. Thank you, VJ. That's what it was. Rock'em sock'em. But ultimately, while the referee was distracted, here is Kyle O'Reilly, and Orange Cassidy is not looking, and Kyle O'Reilly attacks Orange Cassidy with a couple of punches. You know, some people thought, wow, Kyle O'Reilly's punches suck. I didn't think they sucked. And my answer to those people was, where the fuck have you been for the last couple of years? I mean, has anybody ever watched Kyle O'Reilly? You know, even when he was teaming up with Bobby Fish or for a little while, you know, doing a little work with Adam Cole when Bobby Fish was injured. That was the reason why Roderick Strong ended up joining the group. But for those out there that don't know too much of the history with the Undisputed Era, you know, let me make this point clear. The Undisputed Era originally was three guys. Well, originally it was Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole joined the group. And then Bobby Fish got injured. And I think it was to crown, if I get this wrong, please forgive me. I don't have my notes. I forgot them inside. But if I remember correctly, they were crowning the first NXT North American champion. And Adam Cole was in that match. And then because Bobby Fish was injured, I think Adam Cole took Bobby Fish's place in the NXT tag team title. It was a three-way, if I remember correctly. I don't know if it was the Viking Raiders, Pete Dunne, and Roderick Strong. That might have been it. And what ended up happening was Roderick Strong turned on Pete Dunne. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly kept the belts. They got the belts, kept them. And then since Bobby Fish was injured, Roderick Strong was awarded the title. So, yeah, that's what it was. So Roderick Strong, to me, joined the Undisputed Era mainly because Bobby Fish got injured. And once Bobby Fish came back, you had four. So these three guys now reunited is the original members. You know, I'm not comparing them to the NWO, but it's like when Hogan, Hall, and Nash first started. You had a lot of other members that were added later on. But, all right, one false says that I'm right. You know, my memory is not too shot. You know, when you actually follow people, you follow their careers and you watch it, you know, you usually remember certain things. You don't have to be reminded. So, but a little nervous on that one. So, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole, you know, oh, I have to say this too. In no way, shape, or form am I, and as you heard tonight, am I ripping this. Kyle O'Reilly with those two guys is the perfect way to use Kyle O'Reilly. Not knocking it at all. But I couldn't help but laugh at this picture. This was a screenshot. Look at all the fans for the most part. If you did not see Dynamite tonight, and you only looked at that screenshot, you would think that these fans don't seem to give a shit all that much about Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole's face-off. So I posted that on my Twitter just for laughs. like, okay, look at the fans. They don't look all that excited. The guy with the olive green shirt right in the middle with the hint of the tank top underneath, he looks like,
I farted.
And the blonde chick to his right, that blonde chick is looking at him like, you cocksucker, I smell that fart. You just farted. The little kid underneath him is like, oh, what the hell is that smell? And then the bald guy to the right, he's like, oh, God, this is awful. And then you got the girl with the glasses. She's like, I'll just bang anybody in the ring right now. Oh, I'm sorry if I trigger anybody with some lighthearted humor. And then the guy on the right with the glasses is like, oh. And then the little kids underneath, they're like, hey, I can't see. The girl, look at the guy with the bald head. The little girl's like, you know, could you like move up? I can't see. Could you like bend down? I can't see. The whole, and the guy on the left, he's got like this smug face and he's like, no. So I just thought this picture was funny. But the crowd chanted loud, undisputed, undisputed. It was good, man. It was good. I think some people out there, when I posted that picture, thought that I was going to rip this. Oh, no. No. I liked it. Welcome to AEW, Kyle O'Reilly. I am very curious to see how long his contract is. I'd be surprised if it's more than 2 years. I'd be surprised. Because I think you have to look a little bit ahead. Right now, they'll go through the other trios. You know, we'll have Dark member 5, 10, and 20 lose to them. And then you got uno, dos, tres lose to them. And it, like I said before. But down the line, the money match is Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Not Brandon Cutler and the Young Bucks, but Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And there'll be dissension. The Young Bucks will go along with it, but not really happy about it. And then this will lead to Kenny Omega. The big question is, who's going to be the babyface? Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks or Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly? Something to think about. All right. So Kyle O'Reilly interferes. This leads to Adam Cole hitting the boom for the win. And the Undisputed Era are back together. They beat down the best friends in Orange Cassidy at the very end, setting up the match for next week, because they are going to have a match next week. Backstage segment with FTR, MJF and Wardlow, Sean Spears, and MJF, they continue in this slow burn of Wardlow turning babyface, MJF putting him down a little bit, and obviously they're hyping up their match that's going to be later of CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting versus FTR and MJF. I don't know if you noticed it, but go back and watch it. Wardlow squashed Sean Dean. Just squashed him. And if you watch the match closely, Wardlow is doing his powerbombs. And he just powerbomb party. And the crowd getting a little bit into it. Shout out to Dennis Slusher II. DT, great show so far, but my hat is dented from where I hit it earlier. Oh, is it dented? Thank you for letting me know, man. I fixed it. Thank you for letting me know. Hit road. Now you know. I fixed it. Thank you. I feel bad that you had the super chat to have me fix it. So, and all right. I could turn it around. I could turn it around. Should I turn it around? Don't super chat that answer. No, you got to show some love for Hit Row tonight. They got the shit end of the stick with WWE, so we got to show some love. Yeah, I kind of make Riddle a little bit too big tonight. I know. So kind of the text got overshadowed, but maybe I could do this as a consolation. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Dennis. I fixed it. Go back and watch it. As Wardlow continued the powerbombs to Sean Dean, why was Sean Spears angry at ringside? If you go look at it, Sean Spears is telling Wardlow to stop. Then after the match is over, Sean Spears starts chair bashing Sean Dean anyway. I mean, I know what they're trying to go with this, But it looked kind of stupid. You go back and you watch it. Why would Sean Spears want Wardlow to stop beating the shit out of Sean Dean? Go see it. You'll know what I'm talking about. Dan Lambert cutting a promo in the rafters with Sky and Paige. We talked about it a couple of days ago that AEW was trying to use Dan Lambert to get Cody over as a babyface. I'm not saying that any of them listen to our shows, but like minds think alike, and a lot of you said that as well. And Lambert in his promo today said, he says, Tony Khan told me to do the impossible. He wanted to see if I could get Cody Rhodes cheered. How in the world is that going to happen when Cody is a bigger dick than I am? I liked it. But look, we talked about it last week. I mean, the fact that Dan Lambert got cheered over Cody, it tells you something. I think we talked about it on the sit down. But I don't know if you noticed. And we got Guevara taking on Cody for a Christmas Rampage. And by the way, remember the programming note. Because Rampage is on Christmas night from 9 to 10 instead of 10 to 11, I am not doing a show Christmas night. I will be up here Sunday as regular schedule, and we will do a combination of the sit-down and the Don Tony show. So Sunday night, 8 o'clock, I'll be here, and we will do a show on Sunday. Something I found interesting, though. Lambert was talking about Cody getting the title shot against Sammy. But Lambert was calling out Sammy Guevara and Cody, not Dustin and Cody. Something to think about there. Because has AEW changed their mind, and do they want to have Guevara and Cody team up to take on America's top team? That may actually be the case, because Scorpio Sky, we've talked about his record. He's in the top five, and he's getting no title shots. So maybe this is, I don't know. But I like Lambert, man. I have no complaints about Lambert. If you notice, they kind of toned down his rants a little bit, but he still gets an expletive or two thrown in there. You know, earlier I was talking about Bret Hart for a moment. You know, we're going to talk about it later this week about the Canada Walk of Fame. We had some footage today about Owen Hart. And look, I'm going to say something that might annoy some people, but please don't get mixed up what I'm saying here. I understand why some younger viewers out there feel, I don't agree with it, but I understand why some younger fans that may not have even been alive when Owen passed, I could understand why some viewers out there may think like, you know, this just seems like just like using Owen's name, you know, like just like to get over or just to, I understand why some people say that. Because Owen passed so many years ago, and a lot of other wrestlers have passed years ago as well. And, you know, this feels almost for some people like this is a fuck you to WWE, because Martha Hart is going to present the trophies to the winners. And, you know, my answer to all of that is I understand why some people feel that way, but understand something, you know, it's been 22 years since Owen Hart passed away. And some people made the point that how come NWA TNA didn't do something to pay tribute to Owen Hart, like a tournament or a cup or anything like that. You got to understand something. I've never had a family member tragically pass like that. So I have no idea how that feels. I can only imagine. You know, NWA TNA formed in 2002, only 3 years after Owen Hart passed away. And it could have simply been that Martha Hart, you know, she's still devastated by losing her husband. But it may only be in the last few years that she has warmed up with the possibility of celebrating. Because remember, Martha Hart hated wrestling for the most part, period. So that's why a lot of the family members, you know, just they had a falling out with her. It was more than just what happened with WWF at the time. So, you know, the fact that Martha is allowing this, and let me also say this too. Let me also say this too in defense of WWE. I know it's catchy tweets, and I know, you know, it looks good, but, you know, when it's really, really disrespectful and unfair for people to write this, and believe me, there's blue check marks writing this also. You know, it would be nice if WWE licensed some Owen Hart footage for this tribute. Like. These people cannot be that stupid. WWE's been wanting to celebrate Owen Hart for years. Martha Hart blocks WWE from using the footage. So you mean to tell me Martha Hart, who is totally against WWE, she is the one that makes the decision if WWE allows that footage? And what happens if Martha says, yes, WWE, you can give AEW some footage? Why can't WWE air the footage themselves then? Why does it have to be for a rival promotion only? See where I'm going with this? The reason why WWE does not show the footage and they don't give the footage is because Martha Hart will not allow it. That is the truth. But people will not accept that as an answer because then they can't tweet it and then they can't get the likes. Ring of Honor. I'll throw this out there right now. I know it's totally in the middle of this, but it's worth bringing up with this. Ring of Honor. All I saw over the last 2 weeks is, wow, WWE so fucked up. They couldn't let their former Ring of Honor wrestlers send a tribute video to Ring of Honor. Kevin Owens did an interview this week. Kevin Owens said that Ring of Honor not only did not contact WWE, they did not contact any promotion and ask for tributes. Okay? So now people have to change the narrative and they say, well, WWE should have done it anyway. It was the right thing to do. I ask you this. Anybody remember, I think his name is Kevin Eck. Again, I don't have any notes in front of me. I left them inside, so this is all in the memory. So I don't think I'll get anything wrong, but Kevin Eck does a Ring of Honor podcast. He had Joe Koff on a couple of days ago. Joe Koff said that it is misconception that Ring of Honor is done. He said it's not a matter of if they can have the shows again. It's a matter of when. So Joe Koff said that the fans were wrong to interpret Final Battle as their last show ever. So then I ask you this, Ring of Honor, with all due respect. Why did you air all those fucking tribute videos, including Bryan Danielson? What the hell did Bryan Danielson say? This is end of an era? I think that was Bryan Danielson's comment. This is an end of an era? Why would you air videos like that and having all these wrestlers on Twitter, WWE wrestlers included, paying tribute to Ring of Honor if it was not shutting its doors? So, again, why would you have all these tribute videos, end of an era, if it's not end of an era? You know, see where I go with this? You know, it fits a narrative, but it's not an accurate narrative. Tony Khan. I guess we're getting these news tidbits out of the way so we could just finish up AEW, get NXT, and call it a night. Tony Khan did an interview with some guy from CBS Sports. And believe me, just because it says CBS Sports doesn't mean that the guy is the sharpest knife in the drawer. And it doesn't mean that he's got this gigantic podcast. Tony Khan was asked about MJF and WWE and the USA Network's interest in MJF. Remember those reports a week or two ago that WWF, USA Network, that and Fox are all interested in MJF? As soon as you heard that, you should have immediately thrown it in the garbage, flushed it down the toilet, put it in the garbage disposal. Because Fox and USA on TV networks, they're not WWE management, they're not stockholders, they're not World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated. But anyway, whatever. People reported that they're all interested. So MJF, Tony Khan is asked about this in an interview with CBS Sports. And what's Tony Khan's response? Oh, let them keep talking about MJF because MJF, he's the biggest, one of the biggest ratings on our shows. And let them keep talking about it because it just gives us more publicity. That's pretty much what he said. Show me one tweet. Show me one interview. Show me one public comment where WWE, USA Network, and Fox publicly said they were interested in MJF. What Tony Khan said made no sense whatsoever. Let them keep talking about him because it just gives us more publicity. Why are they talking about it? But again, not confronted. Tony, that doesn't make sense. And then Tony Khan talks about CM Punk. He talks about the feud with CM Punk and MJF. And Tony Khan says something that there are people in WWE that we were eyeing for a while. And we landed him and Brian Danielson and Adam Cole and Ruby Soho. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, CM Punk's not been in WWE for 7 years. But the interviewer does not call him out on any of this. Neither does anybody else. So, I like that they're paying tribute to Owen Hart. Way overdue. I appreciate that Martha Hart is opening up her heart, no pun intended, to allow wrestling fans to show our love for Owen Hart. Not with our own little wall tributes, not with our created YouTube videos, our tweets, our blogs over the years. No, this is something that is being done through a wrestling company. And the tournament is going to feature multi-generations of wrestlers. And I think it's a fabulous idea. I think it's a fabulous idea. In fact, my early pick to win it all is Brian Pillman Jr., believe it or not. Benjamin, come on, man. You don't want me to repeat what you just said. It's not, like, bad. I don't want anybody to be like, what the fuck did he say? What the fuck did he say? A lot of AEW fans know who Owen Hart is. Owen Hart, you don't have to be 50 or 40 and over to understand. There are many people who died tragically way before our, you know, way before our adulthood that you hear about later on and you always reminisce. Look at Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not comparing him to Owen, but I'm just making a point. Look at when he died. None of us, for the most part, was born yet. You know, you look at Jackie Robinson and others. You know, there are a lot of people who we, you know, always want to pay tribute to, but we never in our lifetime ever got to experience them or witness them. I'm privileged to be a wrestling fan since 79. So I watched Owen Hart come through the ranks. So the fact that we're getting a little professional tribute, get some home movies that we've never seen before, having some wrestlers pay tribute, there is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Zero. Nothing. I don't care if they bring up Owen Hart's name every week leading up to it. And sure, some people may interpret it that, oh, this is AEW just sticking a knife behind in WWE's back. Well, guess what? And I'm not going against WWE here, but I'm just stating facts. Somebody fucked up that night, which led to Owen Hart's death. And whether it was, you know, fucked up equipment, or Owen didn't put it on the right way, or WWE shouldn't have had him up there in the first place, it happened under WWE's watch, and you're responsible. He died on the job. WWE will forever be held accountable for that. So some people may feel that it's, just digging it in and WWE. Oh, yeah, well, somebody's life was the result of what happened. So that's my feelings on that. So just to wrap up the Dynamite recap, we talked about that awful sign with Nyla Rose earlier. She had a match with Ruby Soho. And I'll be honest with you, I thought this match was not very good. I don't know if I could put this blame all on Nyla Rose. I know that is the easy way out, but Ruby Soho, with all due respect, she has had multiple matches that it just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. One thing I notice about Ruby Soho that she does, and this is not a knock on her, this might actually be a compliment on her, that I think Ruby Soho, one of her talents, some people are going to get angry when I say this, but I think deep down inside, you're going to be like, DT, you're right. One thing that Ruby Soho does better than a lot of women's wrestlers, I mean, really does good, she realizes when something goes off crappy, shitty, awful. And what she immediately does, she's done this numerous times in AEW. I got to take my glasses off this because those glasses are expensive. I don't want to ruin them. When she does a move or she takes a move and she can tell that everybody that saw it, it looked like it sucked, what does she do? She immediately acts like she got an injury.
Oh, Elizabeth, it's the big one.
No, but seriously, am I wrong? Nyla Rose hit her with a knee in the head. You could have counted to 90, and I'm exaggerating. Ruby Soho, well, yes, race based, she's professional. Like I said, I think this is more of a compliment to her than anything else. Ruby was on those ropes, teeter-tottering, for way too long. And I think she realized it. Come on, Nyla. Fuck you. Why is this taking so long? Nyla, come on. Let's go.
Hey, what's your wrestler? What's it like this? Shut up.
Kidding. Some people will get that. And the minute Nyla hit her with the knee, which looked great, what does Ruby do? She starts selling the shoulder like she had a major injury. Who is going to shit on Ruby, who may have just injured her shoulder during the match? She's done this numerous times. And she is excellent at that. But still, the match was not very good tonight. Another part of the match, which was awful. Vicky Guerrero, I'm a fan. And I hear nothing but wonderful things about her. But they put her in situations where even if she wants to do it, she shouldn't be doing it. She climbs the apron, distracting Aubrey Edwards. Nyla Rose, she's trying to distract the reps so Nyla Rose can hit Ruby Soho with a move. And Nyla Rose does hit Ruby with the Beast Bomb. But right before that, Ruby Soho kicks Vicky in the head. And Vicky does this. It's almost like Paul Heyman waiting for the Superman punch. She turned her head so she could be in the perfect position for Ruby to hit her. It was so choreographed and awful. And it was just not very good. So Ruby, selling the shoulder still. After the Beast Bomb, Nyla goes to, I guess, put her on the top rope. And Ruby, out of nowhere, hits the No Future and gets the win. So Ruby Soho goes to the finals. And she will be facing the winner of Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill. That match will actually happen next week. And then it'll be Soho versus the winner of that match. And the new TBS Women's Champion will be crowned the following Wednesday on January 5th. So the main event tonight was CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting beating FTR and MJF. This was, if I could probably explain it best, it was the type of main event that you would pay to see at a local indie event. That is not a criticism. This was not a pay-per-view quality match, but it was a match that if wrestlers were coming to your hometown and they advertised the main event as MJF and FTR versus Sting, Darby Allin, and CM Punk, and you went to see it, you went home happy. This was a fun match. We showed you the face paint earlier. You know, Darby doing all his signature dives. You know, CM Punk and Sting are having a ball. We had that scary moment where FTR were outside the ring and Sting throws MJF over the top rope and he lands headfirst on the floor. That looks scary, really scary. What ends up happening at the very end is MJF is back in the ring. And MJF is extremely woozy because of that fall. Dax Harwood enters the ring, and Dax Harwood throws MJF outside the ring. He took the bullet, as they call it, for MJF. CM Punk hits the go to sleep on Dax. And yeah, it would look a little choreographed. Instead of Dax going down, because Sting is about 10 feet behind him, after Dax gets hit with the go to sleep, Dax with the, you know, let me just fall backwards for 10 feet so I could get put in Sting's finisher. And he gets splashed, and that's it. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, CM Punk, a little bit of Surfer Sting tonight. It was a fun main event, especially with the holidays, man. Look, I have nothing against Christmas-themed episodes. I know WWE will have people go through eggnog and they'll have presents and do stuff like that. We didn't get that tonight with AEW. But you can also have a fun match. Yeah, CM Punk and MJF actually went at it a little bit in this match, which was fun. It's a teaser of what's to come. But it was a fun match. Everybody goes home happy. You know, the heels leave the ring. MJF looks like he's okay. But this was more of just a feel-good match going into Christmas. And Dynamite was a very solid show tonight. Yeah, Sting taking that. And Sting, when he dove off the top rope outside the ring onto FTR and MJF, that was right after MJF landed on his head. So, you know, and Sting, I'll tell you, some people probably got a little nervous because Sting, right before he jumped off, he kind of lost a little of his footing and he like moved back to the middle rope for a second. But then, you know, you get into your group like, fuck it, and he just launched off. It was a really, really good match. It was a fun match. I really cannot crap on this episode at all. Sure, Nyla Ruby was eh. Griff Garrison and Malakai was more of a squash than anything else. Wardlow's match was a squash. Cassidy and Cole at times was a little, you know, too. But I enjoyed the night. And Kyle O'Reilly made his debut as well. So next week for New Year's Smash, Jim Ross will return. Jim Ross, I think, only has maybe 4 more chemo appointments. And then he should be good to go. I mean, it does take a lot out of you physically. So, you know, he's going to come back to close out 2021 next week, which will be fun. Next week, we have Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz versus Daniel Garcia in 2.0. Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill, as I said, in the semifinals. Orange Cassidy and Best Friends versus Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Adam Cole. On Rampage, which will be Christmas Day, remember, at 9 p.m., not 10, you're going to have Hook versus Bear Bronson, which we talked about Monday. Isaiah Cassidy versus Jungle Boy. We'll see if Isaiah pounds that ass. and Cody Rhodes trying to regain the TNT Championship against Sammy Guevara. So Battle of the Belts we talked about earlier. Right now, the only match that's announced is Riho versus Thunder Rosa. But again, you will not get the most important belt in AEW. That will not be on Battle of the Belts. So that's it. So NXT, couple of tidbits very quickly with NXT. We have New Year's Evil happening on January 4th. And three matches that have already been announced is Tommaso Ciampa defending the NXT Championship against Bron Breakker. I think 2022 will begin in a new era with Bron Breakker as heavyweight champion. I think even though he is still extremely new, you know, as far as a pro wrestling career, and he's, look, he's wrestled over the years at home with relatives, but he's still, his career has just started. But still, I remember Goldberg. Goldberg did not have many matches under his belt either, and most of them were just two-minute squashes. And he did just fine for WCW. And Bron Breakker, I think everybody will say, is a hell of a lot more talented than what Goldberg was, even though I'm a Goldberg fan. And yeah, Wrestle Kingdom Night 1 will also be on January 4th. You are right, Harris. But I think majority people out there, you know, I think, you know, NXT doesn't get a crazy audience in ratings department. What are they going to get? 700,000? You know what I mean? So it's not like every single person is going to decide, oh, Wrestle Kingdom or NXT. There's going to be a lot of people going to be like, neither. And that's just the truth. Mandy Rose defending the Women's Championship against Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade. Now, yesterday on NXT, we had Raquel Gonzalez beat Dakota Kai in a street fight. We had the Grizzled Young Veterans and the Creed Brothers go to a no contest. Dexter Lumis over Trick Williams. Idris Inofi. Remember that name. Idris Inofi over Von Wagner in an upset. Io Shirai over Electra Lopez. And Pete Dunne over Tony D'Angelo. But Tony D'Angelo, after the match is over with the crowbar, may have lost the match, but he won the war for now. But Raquel Gonzalez beats Dakota Kai in a street fight. So now Raquel Gonzalez wants her title back. No, this is going to be a three-way. Cora Jade versus Raquel versus Mandy Rose. This match is designed for one reason and one reason only: to protect Cora Jade. I don't think there's any question. Mandy Rose retains. You could have the upset victory of Cora Jade getting the win, but I think it is way too soon for that. But the reason why Raquel is in this match, which is very, very important. What's up, Ken? The reason why it's so important that Raquel is in this match is because Cora Jade, even though she's got this momentum right now, it doesn't take away the fact that she's still new. She's still extremely young. She's still not in that position yet where she can really be showcased like that. So Raquel Gonzalez will take over where Cora Jade is just not ready yet to be in that position. So having a three-way, there'll be a lot of focus on Raquel and Mandy Rose. Cora Jade will get her moments, but not overdo it. And that's why Raquel Gonzalez is there. Now, I'm not doing predictions yet, but that is the reason why it's a three-way and not a one-on-one. It's very smart on WWE's move, because putting Cora versus Mandy, you do not want to put Cora in a position where it turns into a train wreck. You don't want her to look like a deer in headlights. That's why three-ways are very important at times. Just like, remember Rondi, Becky, Charlotte? And even before that match was announced as a three-way, I was on the show saying they need to put Charlotte in the match. They need to put Charlotte in the match. They need to put Charlotte in the match. As great Ronda Rousey has been, if, you know, even the best, you know, have their off days, if Ronda has an off day or she's in a deer in headlights and something goes wrong, you need Charlotte there to take the focus away from Ronda Rousey. Raquel Gonzalez taking the focus away from Cora during that match will help Cora tremendously. And then you got Roderick Strong and Carmelo Hayes going at it, title unification match. You could have the Cruiserweight Championship and the NXT North American Championship. They will be unifying. I have no problem with it because, again, NXT is a developmental territory. Once again, even though a lot of people refuse to look at it that way, it is developmental. Some of those titles are just not necessary right now. I mean, let's also be honest. You know, even before Isaiah Swerve Scott dropped this belt, he had it for, what, 3 months with no title defense? So WWE, you know, trimming down the number of championships in NXT is a very smart thing to do. So they're going to have a unification match to unify the titles. So that is what's been announced so far for New Year's Evil. NXT's rating this week increased 5.3%. And there's your ratings if you want to check it out. To 591,000. Basically, they regained their losses from 2 weeks ago. So, like I said, this is pretty much their average now. There's you know, no surprises there. And I don't understand why people still refuse to accept that NXT has gone back to its roots of being a developmental territory. That's it. There's no, and AJ Styles appearing, I said it yesterday. And really, it's ridiculous for me to say it again, but I will. Anybody that criticized AJ Styles appearing in NXT yesterday is ridiculous. I don't even want to go into goof territory. Anybody that criticized that, they're just looking for reasons to hate on WWE. We have had Adam Cole and others appear on Rampage and Elevation. And you don't hear a peep from those people. AJ Styles makes an appearance on NXT, and people are ripping it. We've been saying this forever, that WWE should send somebody. It's called giving the fucking rub. It's called trying to help some of the stars of tomorrow. Guidance, a little rub, a little exposure, a little interaction. People still to this day still fantasized if Edge would have taken on Karrion Kross. You know, it's, we need more of that. Riddle doing segments with MSK, that's to give Riddle a little time off for the holidays because the guy's been performing almost every week and house shows. So AJ Styles having a little confrontation with Grayson Waller, even if it ends up with a match, which I don't know if it will. So what? So what? Give me more. Have people show up once in a while. There is nothing wrong with that. WWE in the developmental territory would sometimes have somebody make an appearance. Having somebody show up via minor league to basically give a little interaction. You know, you remember Tough Enough? And you remember when a wrestler would show up at Tough Enough? What about Undertaker? When Undertaker was working out with the NXT guys a couple of years ago, everybody thought that was epic, amazing, awesome. Well, tell me what is different with AJ Styles showing up there. It's not for a ratings grab. Ooh, we got 20,000 extra viewers. Ooh. It's not about a ratings grab. This is a fucking developmental territory again. These veterans are helping in some ways, to build the stars of tomorrow. That should never be criticized. That should never be frowned upon. So I had no problem with that whatsoever yesterday. So just to wrap up tonight's show, for you Scarlett Bordeaux fans out there, she has launched her OnlyFans page. $20 a month. I cannot subscribe. I will not subscribe. First of all, I don't subscribe to anybody in OnlyFans. First of all, if I ever got caught, because my fiance looks at all my credit card statements, she looks at all my PayPal stuff, what the hell is this? So even if I wanted to, I wouldn't. But I know there's a lot of you out there, I think, that would sign up, and nothing wrong with that. Not criticizing anybody, but some of you have anticipated it. I don't know what the page is involved, but you know, I will tell you, you know, go check out the page. I'm sure she probably put a very detailed description. I don't think you will get anything raunchy. Even though she's a smoke show, doesn't make her raunchy. I think that she will show off her assets and leave a lot to the imagination. So if you want to go check it out, it is onlyfans.com/realscarlettbordeaux. And no, John, I am not ever going to be opening up an OnlyFans account. No. I mean, look, everybody, OnlyFans. Subscribe to my membership and you'll see me go a little bit further down. No. Nobody wants to see Don Tony on OnlyFans. Yeah, psycho. I've always said this. I don't lie because I don't want to get caught in a lie, you know, and I'm not going to do that because I just don't want to be bothered getting caught. You know, I don't want it to have happened to me. So, you know, no. I was thinking about this. Let me know what you all think about it. Because if you like the idea, we could do it right now. Because it's not hard. You know, we're doing the Blackheart year-end awards. And we've already done Male Wrestler of the Year, Female Wrestler of the Year, Most Memorable Moment. And by the way, like I said, I'm going to put in the community section this weekend the categories we've put together so far to give you an opportunity if we should add a nominee or two. Now I was thinking about it. I said, you know, NXT is likely not going to get any awards. Maybe dumbest moment of the year. Maybe some people will feel making NXT 2.0. I'm not saying that it will. But I said, you know what? How can we celebrate the people who have worked their ass off in NXT? Now, we haven't done Rookie of the Year yet. So I don't want anybody, you know, we're going to get to that later this week. We might even do it tomorrow. I don't know. So I was thinking, should we have two categories? One category, NXT Wrestler of the Year, and another category, AEW Wrestler of the Year. And the reason why I say that is because the overall Wrestler of the Year, it may end up being Roman Reigns. I'm just using an example. And if it ends up being Roman Reigns or Bryan Danielson, whoever it is, there are a lot of people that wouldn't have a shot in AEW or NXT. But if we have an award specifically for that promotion, we could celebrate a wrestler or two. So if you like that idea, what I was thinking is, for all of you out there, if you want to come up with nominees for NXT Wrestler of the Year and in a category AEW Wrestler of the Year, I think that actually might be a great idea. What do you all think about that? If you like the idea, I will take nominees right now because there's no way anybody in NXT right now, you know, would end up as overall Wrestler of the Year. And it could be a wrestler that is no longer in NXT. Something tells me Adam Cole could very well end up being NXT Wrestler of the Year even though he only had, what, a nine-month run? A lot of wrestlers did not wrestle an entire 12-month period. So what do you think? What do you think? You think we should do an NXT Wrestler of the Year award and an AEW Wrestler of the Year award? Because I think the AEW one would be really, really interesting if you start thinking about it. Is Kenny Omega? Is it Bryan Danielson? Bryan Danielson's not had enough matches yet in AEW, so I don't think he would qualify. But, all right, well, some people are saying at least NXT. So I ask all of you, who would you choose as NXT Wrestler of the Year? Now, I showed you this just as guidance. This is 6 months ago. And you could see how much it has changed in only 6 months. So I ask you, who would you choose as NXT Wrestler of the Year? Okay, I think Johnny Gargano is an excellent pick. I think Johnny Gargano has done a great job in NXT this year. Bron Breakker has not had enough matches. Bron Breakker could end up being Rookie of the Year. Could very well end up being Rookie of the Year. I think Bron Breakker has not had enough matches. We're doing NXT right now, Mike, not AEW. So we got Johnny Gargano. I think that's an excellent choice. Should we put Adam Cole? I think we absolutely should put Adam Cole. I think people forget the war that Adam Cole had this year with Kyle O'Reilly. Remember when they were in respectable hospital beds? Remember the stretchers? I think Adam Cole should be on this list. I'm going to throw a curveball for you right now. Should we include NXT UK? Should we put Walter on this list? Do we put Ilya Dragunov on this list? NXT UK is part of NXT. We could put Raquel Gonzalez. Okay, so we could put Walter. We could put Walter on that list. We could put Raquel Gonzalez on this list. Now, Raquel Gonzalez, I think everybody will agree that the last maybe couple of months have not been all that great. It's not necessarily her fault. Walter, I think, definitely should be put on this list. What do you think about Ilya Dragunov? There's got to be a couple more. We got four entries so far. Let's add like a... Now, remember, the nominees are not closed tonight. We're just basically trying to come up with a list. And when I put it in the community section, everybody will have an opportunity to pick somebody else. Here's a great example. Here's a great example. The other day we did Most Memorable Moment. And I know a lot of you probably think CM Punk's AEW debut is the most memorable moment. One idea that did not come up that several of you brought up after the show was over was the night that fans returned to AEW and SmackDown. The first night that we had a full live regular audience in attendance. I think that is a spectacular choice to put on the list. That was not discussed that night. All right, we could put Ilya Dragunov. We got a lot of votes for Ilya Dragunov. I see some comments posted on Facebook because not every chat room appears on the screen. So I'm looking, and I have three chats right now, even though one is not active. For my Twitter family out there, I think starting next week, whenever you post a comment under the video that's live, it'll pop up on the screen. So I think I have all the kinks ironed out. So that, I think that'll start next week. So Mandy Rose has not done enough. Pete Dunne has not had a bad year. I don't know if he's wrestled enough, though. I don't think Cameron Grimes would even get anywhere near Wrestler of the Year. I'm just looking at the bit. Karrion Kross, I don't know if he would be considered Wrestler of the Year. I don't want to just put names just to put names. Right now we have Gargano, Cole, Walter, Raquel Gonzalez, Ilya Dragunov. So do we just leave it at that? We could leave it at that. Okay. Io Shirai is not a bad one. Io Shirai had a decent first half. The second, but she was also tag champs. You know what? I would put, we could put Io Shirai. To call Vince, I don't think she has any chance in hell. But we could put Io Shirai, absolutely. Finn Balor did not have a great NXT year. Go back and just recap the year. It was not very good. No, MSK is in the tag team of the year. MSK is in the tag team category. So let's go now to AEW. AEW is a very interesting category. Like I said, Bryan Danielson has not done enough in AEW yet. It's only been a couple of months. And it's only, you know, he's wrestled mostly the Dark Order, you know, more than anything else. I definitely agree that Kenny Omega belongs on this list. Kenny Omega has done enough in AEW 2021 that he probably will run away with it. Darby Allin is not a bad choice. I don't know if he would be wrestler of the year. What do you all think about Darby Allin? Do you want to put Darby Allin on this list? What about, trying to think, Hangman Page did not have enough matches. If you really look back at 2021, Hangman Page did not have enough matches. What about Thunder Rosa? What about Thunder Rosa? I mean, Thunder Rosa, it was really underutilized. Maybe, you know what? Maybe AEW has to pay the price because of that. If they would have utilized Thunder Rosa a little bit more, Cody has not wrestled that much either. Cody at some points was only wrestling once a month. You know, I think some points twice a month. He had one month where he wrestled maybe four times. You know what? Tommaso Ciampa is a great choice. Yes, I agree. Going back to the NXT one, Tommaso Ciampa, even though, you know, maybe his heavyweight title run has been, you know, average because it's developmental, but, you know, he also did some great work with Thatcher. You know, I think Ciampa definitely deserves to be on that list. Should we put Britt Baker on that list? You know what? Maybe we shouldn't put an AEW category. The more I think about it, the gap is so wide with AEW wrestlers. You know, like I said, Bryan Danielson hasn't had enough matches. CM Punk has not had enough matches. Hangman Page has not had enough matches. There's been so many tag team and six-man tag and 10-man tag matches that no individual really, really broke out and shined that could be Wrestler of the Year. I think it's Kenny Omega, nobody else. So, yeah, I think we will scratch the AEW. We will do just the NXT Wrestler of the Year just to show a little bit of praise and acknowledgement, even though the NXT is obviously a lot of notches below AEW. Look, I'm an NXT fan, but even I will admit it's not even close. NXT is, you know, it's always been like the minor league of everything. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, we're a little tired of the Young Bucks, but, they've dialed it back a little bit now. They've definitely dialed it back. So, all right. So with that said, I'm going to jet out of here. Don't forget that tomorrow night at 10:05, I will be up here for Q&A. I will tell you, it being literally the day before Christmas Eve, we are going to have a very easygoing show. A lot of you out there have asked me to put up my vintage camping hazing trips from like 30 years ago. So we may spend a few minutes tomorrow, and I'll give you a little teaser of my old shit that I have from 30 years ago. You'll see some hazing and nothing, you know, cruel. I mean, there's a little bit of cruelty in it. We refuse to let one of my friends see. Probably tomorrow, that episode cannot be monetized because some of the hazing we do, you hear music and there's no way to exit out because one of my friends, he got no sleep And we were up in the mountains for, I think, 6 days. And there's always someone that is a victim of hazing. I've been a victim of hazing. You know, I've had wedgies done, crazy shit, stupid shit done. Trust me, you don't want to get a wedgie when you have to hike 3 hours back to your car after. But one of my friends, they refused to let him sleep. And he had no sleep for, I think, 2 days. He was so tired, and he's just a white guy. He was so tired that after 2 days, he looked like he was Greek. His lips were like gray. His eyes were so black, because a lot of Greeks, their eyes, they almost look like raccoon eyes. And that's, I'm not saying it like any race. I'm just saying like that's a stereotype with a lot of Greeks. They look like they got raccoon eyes. And we, for 2 days, refused to let him sleep. What we did in the middle of the night, and you'll see me do it as well. You know the cup of soups? The cup of soups, the cup of noodles? We ate cup of noodles, and we cut the bottom of the noodle, the cup off, so the bottom was exposed, and then we had little transistor radios. And we took, like, the cup of noodles. Pretend this is a cup of noodles. I know it's the Rambling Rabbit Jam. Pretend this is a cup of noodles. We took the bottom off, and we put it on the transistor speaker, and every time my friend fell asleep, we put it up to his ear. We stuck cigarettes in his nose. We took leaves and shoved it in his ass, and we would not let him sleep. So, I'm a mean one, Mr. Grinch. So, we'll probably show a little of that footage tomorrow. So, we'll see. We'll see. But we'll have a fun show. It's going to be the day before Christmas Eve. So we might even just be talking about Christmas tomorrow. Whatever way you dictate the show tomorrow, that's what we'll be doing. So, yeah, that's it. Oh, it was funny, Ben. It was funny. My friend got lost. And you'll see my friend come back. He got lost. We were worried. We're like, what are we going to do? At that time, we didn't have the cell phones. They didn't have the GPS like they have it now. My friend got lost in the mountains. And after a day and a half, we were going to hike back and try to get help. And he just showed up. And you'll see it. You'll see the video. I mean, he just shows up out of nowhere. And for a day and a half, he ate nothing. He drank nothing. He slept like he made like with leaves, like a little shelter because it went down to like 40 degrees at night. It's pretty wild stuff. We blew up batteries up there. We blew up M80s. We found like a little storage area that had like vintage soda that was like 20 years old. So it's actually a much more fun video. You'll see me accidentally. We passed a swamp and we didn't know how deep it was. So I took this giant, it looked like a tree trunk, this giant tree trunk and like a javelin. And it flew in the air and it landed at my friend's feet and mud flew up everywhere. So you'll actually see, you know, yours truly and my friends camping from like 30 years ago in the mountains. It's pretty cool. I think you'll enjoy it. So you all saw last week when I finally showed the video of me taking home the chair when I graduated high school. I've always told that story on the hotline since the 90s. And I had no idea there was footage of it. And sure enough, you know, I got the footage and I played it last week. You see me walking out of my high school graduation. I took the chair home as a commemorative chair. So, all right, everybody. Much love. We're under 2 hours, which is great. You know, we probably would have ended at least 15 minutes earlier if we didn't have to, unfortunately, talk about the Nyla Rose stuff and, you know, even the stuff last week with Vince. You know, it's a shame to see assholes making signs like that. You cannot have that climate where everybody thinks they could be a funny asshole. It's not funny. It's not funny. And Nyla Rose giving the guy the finger earlier, best way you could respond to that. But again, let's not forget the sign from last week. Although not as vicious and disrespectful as what we got tonight, just because you dislike someone doesn't make it funnier. There's nothing about COVID that should be funny. Nothing about COVID. I know people who died from COVID. I know you all know people who died from COVID. Some people have gotten very sick from it. Some people who lost jobs because of it. Some people who have lost relationships because of COVID. And I don't think it's a laughing matter, even if you try to throw Vince McMahon in the middle of it. So, all right. Charlie's like, why is monetizing important? Well, this all this shit costs money to run. Plus, if you add up the amount of hours of me doing this stuff, and I'm trying to pay off a wedding as well. You know, this is a job. I mean, it really has turned into a job. It's a labor of love, and it's a hobby to me still. But, you know, you figure it out. I put in 25 hours a week at least on the shows between preparing, recording, editing, doing other people's preparation of shows and editing. You know, 25 hours a week on top of a 40-hour job, on top of everything else. So, sure, you know, some type of monetization is important. Absolutely. Much love, everybody. Thank you for spending your Wednesday night with me. If you do not tune into my show tomorrow, I wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all the best. Stay safe. You know, there's Omicron that's going around. It's no joke. I've been paying very close attention to it. And thank God, if you pay attention to South Africa, where this all started, as quickly as the numbers skyrocketed, they plummeted. So it's not out of the question that a month from now, this Omicron will almost be gone. And that's not I'm not exaggerating either. That is, the thing that bothers me is, remember, I got my booster August 18th. Today in Israel, they announced the fourth shot, the second booster. And they are Israel is recommending their residents that you get the second booster 4 months after the first booster. Well, I had mine August 18th, September, October, November, December. You mean to tell me I'm going to have to get a fourth shot? I was the first podcaster to get the COVID vaccine. I was the first podcaster to get the booster. Maybe I should be the first podcaster to be the guinea pig and get the fourth shot. So we will see. We will see. And I don't find it funny. I mean, I want to be protected. You know, it's like if, you know, I don't like wearing condoms, but if I don't want to get a sexually transmitted disease and I don't want to get anybody pregnant, you know, you best damn believe I'm going to put a garbage bag on it. You know, do whatever I can to try to protect myself as much as possible. So, all right, everybody. It's been real. You all have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow or Sunday night, 26th of December. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. Uh-oh. You're going to like Don Tony.
I did forget something tonight. I have to bring this up. I could bring it up tomorrow. I forgot. We need to clear this up. For my audio-only friends that do not see this right now, I am showing a screenshot from last night's NXT. And a female who is sitting behind a Vic Joseph, and she is sleeping, but somehow perfectly holding a can of beverage. And if she had a child in the blanket, the child would have died from suffocation because it is not ventilated. And you look up a little bit closer, that's what it looks like. Guys, gals, I don't know if people are intentionally ignoring the facts or if they truly do not know what the hell is going on. Friends, this is who it is. This was, I kind of hinted to it earlier when I said Mei Yang. That is Karen Q. She is the one playing this character. So when people out there are saying NXT is so boring that people are falling asleep, this is a fucking plant. She is Mei Yang. She is Karen Q. This is a character. This is not a fan that keeps falling asleep at NXT. It is a running joke. So if any of you out there are seeing other people that think they are so freaking hilarious, showing close-ups of her saying, look, NXT is so boring that she fell asleep. Could you please let them know that it is a character on the show? Please. Now, I will admit, I'm a little surprised that they got rid of the Mei Yang character. I thought the vaping stuff was stupid, but I still, for the last 24 hours, I'm saying to myself, there's no way that people are this ignorant about it. I think people are intentionally ignoring the facts just so they could bash it. Does that sound familiar? Happens all the time. But yeah, that is a character. I definitely needed to make sure that I mentioned that. All right. Now we can officially close the show. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.